This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
The FBI says it has unlocked the San Bernardino gunman's iPhone without help from Apple. The government Monday ended its high-stakes legal fight with the tech giant. FBI experts were able to access the data with help from a third party. Apple says the case should not have been brought. Jan Crawford is in Washington with why the privacy versus security fight is not over. Jan, good morning.
Good morning, Charlie. I mean, the Justice Department isn't saying who the third party is, or even if they're based in the United States. And the question now is whether the government will tell Apple how and who was able to get past security.
The FBI's request for Apple's help in this case is over, but not the issue of balancing personal privacy and public security. With the help of a third party, the FBI penetrated Apple's encryption and accessed the iPhone of San Bernardino shooter Syed Rizwan Farouk.
No product is beyond being hacked into.
Congressman Daryl Issa, a member of the House Judiciary Committee, has opposed the government's demand.
Your government will ask for the back door to your privacy, and there has to be a constant vigilance to make sure they're not allowed to go too far.
In February, the Justice Department asked Apple to develop new software that would in part disable the auto-erase function that wipes the phone clean after 10 passcode fails. Apple refused and called the request a dangerous precedent.
We did not expect to be in this position at odds with our own government.
It's unclear if Apple will ever know how a third party bypassed their security.
We're not expecting the government to tell Apple very much anytime soon.
Los Angeles Times tech reporter Presh Duvay.
It raises questions about Apple's security. Apple has said throughout this whole process, nothing that they build is 100% secure.
In a statement released Monday, the company vowed to increase the security of their products. The company also stood by their original decision, saying the FBI's demand was wrong.
There was every reason for the FBI to push as hard as they possibly could to get
Senate Intelligence Chairman Richard Burr says he expects more cases like this one.
We will face in the future many, many times, not only in terrorism, but in regular criminal prosecution, where we've got to get into electronic devices.
The FBI says it performed extensive testing on the phone, but it hasn't disclosed what it found. Apple was asked if it planned to countersue to get more information on how the government got into the phone. The company told CBS News it can't say yet what its next move will be. Gail.
All right, Jane.
Well, what do you think the FBI is going to tell Apple, Scott? Like, go fish? You know, I mean, why do they need to, you know, share that information with them? I mean, there could have been some cooperation when the government asked Apple. And I understand, you know, as we were talking with Michael Dougherty earlier, is that we have that dynamic tension between privacy and security, and we're starting to get there because of the nature of the 21st century information age we live in.
Yeah, but we're in this a spot of skepticism towards the government, or at least I am, mm-hmm. because it's been proven that they've been spying on American citizens.
Well, we should be vigilant about it, and we should push back. I agree.
There's vigilance, but at the same time, I also don't think that they are very good at. I'm skeptical that if they have the power, that they won't abuse it.
Mm-hmm. Well. Yeah, I mean, that's just the nature of government, and this is why our founding fathers believed in small government, so that it wouldn't. But in this particular case, I mean, you know, as Michael suggested, it looks like some helping hands from Israel, you know, helped us, you know, break this information. Of course, we had people, you know, like you said, on YouTube, young kids going, well, yeah, give me the phone. I can get the information. It's not a problem. And, you know, and for Apple, it kind of gives them some plausible deniability because they didn't volunteer the information. They held the ground on their policy, which is fine. you know, I believe in trying to protect, you know, their customers. But the fact of the matter is when it comes to national security, hey, it, last time I checked, I think it involves all of us. So that conversation and argument is going to continue. It's just about 5 minutes after the top of the hour.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using the computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home or business or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here with you, 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Again, I'm so grateful for Brian Williams, the executive producer of that new documentary, Tuskegee Airmen's 75th Anniversary, that's going to be released tonight. It's a Fathom event. I think a couple hundred theaters across the country. You might check it out. It's going to be tonight, I think, 7 o'clock. I don't know if you've ever gone to these Fathom events, but they are terrific. Great value. You get a chance to see, you know, special showings like this documentary that is just going to bless the socks right off of your feet. You're going to really enjoy it. This is really, and of course, if you remember the movie Red Tails, you know, it was during the Second World War. A special project was begun by the U.S. Army Air Corps to integrate African American pilots into their fighter pilot program, now known as the Tuskegee Airmen, for the name of the airbase at which they were trained. These men were forced to constantly endure harassment, prejudice, and much behind-the-scenes politics until at last they were able to prove themselves in combat. It's just a great story, and to hear it from these 16, 17 surviving, you know, pilots from 75 years ago, oh, I'm telling you, it is really, really special. You're going to enjoy it. Highly recommend. That starts tonight, 7 o'clock. It'll be your local time. Nearly 200 theaters nationwide are going to pay tribute to America's first African-American fighter pilots from World War II. As I said, I had a chance to see it last night, and terrific. Highly recommend it. And again, our thanks to Brian Williams, the partner in Brighton Entertainment LLC. He's the executive producer of the movie Tuskegee's Airmen 75th Anniversary. Enjoy yourself, okay? All right, just about 8 minutes after the top of the hour. I think we're do we have Karen with us now, or is we still waiting? Okay, we're still waiting. Our next guest, quite interesting here. You know, in light of you know, immigration, we've got, you know, refugees coming into this country that our security people have said, hey, we can't vet all these people. I mean, you know, and even former U.S. Marshals who've been on the air here have explained to us since the 80s, since, you know, they were U.S. Marshals, that every time, you know, that we allow refugees in, you know, along with it, you know, the good comes this bad. And it kept them quite busy because they were, you know, staying active and following up these people that do not have a, you know, they have a whole lot of skin in the game. I mean, they're displaced. They're thousands of miles away from their country, and they're trying to survive, and they come here and they get involved in, you know, illicit and illegal activity and, you know, all kinds of issues. And you can only imagine what happens, you know, when all this comes into place. So there's a lot of moving parts and a lot of things to understand about it. Compassion is required, but also, you know, the rule of law is required as well. So Karen Weinstock is with us. She's principal attorney at Weinstock Immigration Lawyers. She says that proposals calling for stricter immigration won't work. And the big question is, do the terrorist attacks justify stricter immigration laws? Now, some people would immediately say, absolutely. But Karen wants to talk about that. Karen, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for coming on and, you know, shedding some light. And, you know, like anything in this country, I mean, this is the beauty of our First Amendment right, is that we have the right to free speech and we can talk and discuss and hopefully, and you know, through the process of conversation, you know, find a better way to deal with these immigration laws, you know, because people have been saying, including our politicians for so long, that our immigration system is broken. We keep saying it's broken, and we keep pointing out the obvious, but we don't seem to have the courage to want to fix it.
Yeah, it's just a stalemate that's unfortunate because nobody really wants to fix it. And you know, it goes back to 1952, you know, the current law. So it's been a long time for an overhaul that's been, you know, really, really overdue.
But even if we followed that law, Karen, from 1952, would we be better off as opposed to unhinging from that law and some of the bases and reasons of it? I mean, it just seems like we've turned our back on the entire law and just said, well, it's so outdated. Let's just, you know, meanwhile, let's not do nothing. And, you know, it's kind of crazy, isn't it?
Well, it's not really turning back the law. It's basically what happened was that reality actually changed on us, mm-hmm. and the law didn't, so it didn't keep up. So what ends up happening is, on one hand, you have huge demand, and then on the other hand, there's really no change, and there's no, you know, and there were some enhancements to securities. If we talk about in the terrorism aspect, there were enhancements to the background checks.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been in place since 9/11.
Right.
So that's not an excuse to restrict.
Well, the thing is that don't you, you know, and I agree, look at, there, you know, that's the beauty of the law, is it can be changed, it can be updated, and it needs to happen. But, you know, you got disparate interests that are promoting the edges of our immigration policy, and it compromises the whole law because, it, unfortunately, don't you agree it's become, you know, too politicized?
It is too politicized, and really, let's talk about really the two main issues. One is really an economic issue, which our country needs it, both on the very high-end professional brainiacs who graduate with master's and PhD degrees mm-hmm. from our universities, so that's
right.
One end. And then you have the lower skilled labor, but uneducated or less educated, let's put it this way,
mm-hmm.
and there's a need for both in this country. And so the problem is that the laws do not allow for a legal avenue for neither. So you have on one hand with the professionals and the highly skilled, you have a reverse brain drain of people coming here to universities, graduating with master's degree and PhDs, and then they have to leave because there are no options or very restricted options with antiquated visa port assistance. And on the other hand, you have a huge demand for labor, you know, in construction, hospitality, and all kinds of industries, and then you have no legal way to bring those employees here.
Well, Karen, how do we get beyond this and start? I mean, you present a very reasonable understanding of what's going on, these dynamics here between, you know, the top end and the low end, and it seems ridiculous. Especially on the top end, because, you know, our immigration previously was based on, okay, what can you bring and add to the proposition of a greater America? And so that would satisfy the top end. And, you know, if we asked that question and responsibly dealt with it, and on the, you know, lower level, you know, labor force, We've got to answer that issue because people are saying, look, we've got, you know, they say 11, it could be 14 million. God only knows what the exact number is of illegal immigrants here. And the fact that they're operating in the shadows, I mean, these are fellow human beings. I mean, they got to be dignified here, you know.
Right. And that's part of the issue, is that really the humanitarian issue aspect of it is never raised in the media.
Mm-hmm.
And so as far as the humanitarian issue of it, I mean, obviously, you have families that are here together. You have mostly mm-hmm. U.S. citizen children, and you have parents who are undocumented, and so it needs to be fixed.
Well, it's going to take... somebody needs some courage here, Karen, and I appreciate you coming on, and we need to have you back so we can unfold this even more. Karen Weinstock on Bill Martinez Live. It's 14 minutes after the top of the hour.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-437-5914. That's 1-800-437-5914.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-437-5914. That's 1-800-437-5914.
Call today.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Destroy harmful bacteria, allergens, bed bugs, dust mites, fleas in your home with the Ladybug Steam Vapor System. The Ladybug dies deep on surfaces without any toxic residue. Traditional control agents contain toxic chemicals which do more harm than good. Sanitize and disinfect using just water. Quick, fast, and surprisingly easy.
Find out more now by calling 800-997-6584. Ask for Randy. That's 800-997-6584. Or go to advap.com/GCN. That's advap.com/GCN.
Hey everyone, with 20 plus years as a radio host, I've seen about everything. One thing that keeps recurring, though, are these timeshare charlatans. These high-pressure salespeople who get folks to come out to some resort for a special weekend offer, then they get them in a corner and browbeat them and coerce them into buying a timeshare they don't need, they don't want, and they can't afford. And then they're stuck with that thing forever. Monthly payments, mortgage payments, annual fees that keep going up and up. Well, up until recently, people thought they couldn't get rid of these things. You know, you can't get out of the contract, you can't get out of the deed or the membership. Well, that's not true. My friends at American Consumer Credit, a timeshare release company, can get you free. That's their personal guarantee. 12 years in business, free consultation, A-plus rating with the DBB, they're the real deal. You want to get out of your timeshare contract? Call them now. 800-587-EXIT. That's 800-587-3948. 800-587-EXIT. Call now. 800-587-3948.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
I've been spending all my time just thinking about you. I don't know what to do. I think I'm falling for you. I've been waiting all my life and now I find you. I don't know what to do. I think I'm falling for you. I'm falling for you.
Join us online at Bill Martinez. BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, whether it's online, your smartphone, any one of the 270-plus outlets across this country, thank you for being a part of, about the conversation and being a part of, doing something to get this country back on track. You know, 7 out of 10 of us agree it's on the wrong track. Good observation. Now, what does the right track look like? And it's going to take a process because for so long, so many of us have been invalidated and we haven't been allowed to have a conversation about this thing. But, hey, it's a we thing. It's not a Democrat or a Republican thing. It's about, the United States of America. It's just about 20 minutes after the top of the hour, America. Javier Rodriguez is with us. He's the president and CEO of DaVita Kidney Care. We've had him on before, and so it's good to have him back. And let me give you a little bit of background on why we need to hear what Javier's got to share with us. Over 31 million Americans suffer from chronic kidney disease, or CKD, as you may hear it referred to from time to time. Millions more are at risk, and as approximately 38% of the U.S. population suffers from either diabetes or high blood pressure, the two leading causes of kidney disease. It's a health problem that affects many Americans' daily lives. Now, our kidneys filter over 200 liters of blood a day, and chronic kidney disease decreases their ability to perform this function and many others that keep us healthy. Now, early detection is important when it comes to CKD, as it can help prevent the progression of CKD and possible kidney failure. Now, a one-minute quiz can help assess your risk for kidney disease. You just got to go to DaVita.com, backslash learn your risk. That's DaVita.com, backslash learn your risk. So, Javier Rodriguez, President and CEO of DaVita Kidney Care, always good to have you with us. Welcome back. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, this is the month that we need to be aware of, this entire month, that it is the National Kidney Month, and we need to be aware of how to assess our current personal conditions regarding this kidney disease. Now, we understand that kidney disease is the ninth leading cause of death in the United States, right, Javier?
It is, Bill, and the reason I'm out to try and inform as many listeners as possible right now is that many people are unaware or fear getting educated because they hear of dialysis and other things around the kidney. But the reality is that putting your head in the sand is probably the worst thing that you can do. Mm-hmm. What you need to do is get active, get educated, get informed, and change your lifestyle.
Well, I got to tell you, I think we had this conversation before, and my father had kidney failure, and that's what he eventually succumbed to. And he was on dialysis, but he really, because my mother watched him like a hawk, really extended his functionality and quality of life, and he lived on dialysis for almost 12 years.
Oh, that's great, Bill. The reality is that loved ones can be an amazing, amazing partner in this journey of kidney care. And that's why we're encouraging you, the audience, and your loved ones to take this very, very short assessment to see where you land on the risk profile.
Mm-hmm. Well, what exactly is CKD, Javier? Explain to our audience, and who is most at risk?
Yes, chronic kidney disease is basically when your kidneys are not functioning at 100%. And so they are not... they're starting to have issues, and if you identify them early enough, you can, of course, stop some of the deterioration and or the progression. The people that are more at risk, I would say everybody's at risk. So, I always worry that when you say, hey, it's the African Americans and Hispanics, they are significantly more at risk, or the, people with hypertension or diabetes. But at the end of the day, a lot of people say, oh, well, I don't have any of those or I don't fall into any of those categories, and then they don't go check themselves, and that would be a shame. Mm-hmm. Everybody's at risk, although those populations have a higher risk.
Well, and people need to be aware, more importantly, of the symptoms of CKD, and that takes it out of, this racial, demographic, scientific terminology. Is like, look, if you're not feeling well and you're showing some symptoms of CKD, the heck with that. You need to go get the information, right?
Yeah, and unfortunately, one of the most difficult things about CKD is that it does not show many symptoms. And so by the time you actually start feeling poorly, the progression has moved to more than it needs to be. And so that's why we're saying proactively assess yourself now, even if you're feeling 100%. So this is like, you know, with breast cancer or anything like that, people proactively go and get monitored. They don't put their head in the sand. We're asking the same for kidney.
Exactly. Well, you know, if nothing else, you got a baseline, right, to work off of?
Correct.
Uh-huh.
And there are lab tests that can be done for people that have higher risk.
Well, you mentioned, and I brought up, you know, my dad's experience, my parents' experience with his dialysis and that. Explain to our audience dialysis and how should patients go about choosing a dialysis center.
Sure. Dialysis is a life-sustaining therapy that happens when your kidneys no longer function. And so, in essence, you can no longer urinate. And what the kidneys do is they clean the blood and take out the excess fluid. So if you're not doing that naturally, what needs to happen is we put it through an artificial kidney, which is in a machine. So your blood circulates through that machine for 4 hours. And so that's how you clean your blood. As it relates to picking a dialysis center, as you can imagine, since you're going to do it 12 hours a week, it is critical that you like the center that you go to. And so CMS has put some guidelines out there. CMS stands for, Center for Medicare. And basically they put out some metrics into a star system that's like a hotel or restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And so 5 stars is the best. And we're very proud at DaVita that we have had the most 4 and 5 stars across the country. But as you were familiar with your father, what I would really suggest is that you go with your nephrologist, which is the doctor of the kidneys, and you take a tour of the center to make sure that you have rapport with the caregivers that are in that center.
Well, and that was the thing about my dad. My dad is such a character, Javier. I mean, you know, he would go in and it was something, you know, to do. And he, you know, brought his charm and, you know, his personality to the deal, and then like anything, it's a shared experience, and you know, the better attitude you have and what you bring, you know, to the experience, you know, adds to it, and everybody's blessed as a result, and you can have some fun there. I mean, like you say, it's a lot of time. I mean, 3 times a week he went for 4 hours, and that's a lot of time to give up. But, you know, bless his heart. He made the most of it, and, you know, the people looked forward to seeing him there, and, you know, it was a mutual, enjoyable, you know, situation, all things considered, though you're going in and relying on, you know, a device to, you know, clean out your kidneys.
Absolutely, Bill. Well, your story brings a huge smile to my face. And that is because, like anything else, attitude is such a big part of it. Mm. And it sounds like your father really embraced the disease and brought joy to a lot of people in the center. You can actually do dialysis at home, but many people, and it sounds like your father's one of them, enjoy doing the journey with others and talking about it and embracing and helping newcomers with experienced ones. And it's just a shared human journey in the center.
Exactly. Now, what can we do to prevent developing CKD? We've got less than a minute here, Javier.
Well, you're not going to like it because most people don't. It's a very simple thing. You got to eat a little better.
Yes.
You go to DaVita.com. It's got a kidney-friendly diet.
Well, it's that easy, and there it is. And that's also where you can go for more information as well, right?
Absolutely.
Well, Javier Rodriguez, President and CEO of DaVita Kidney Care, a leading provider of kidney care services and a division of DaVita Healthcare Partners, a Fortune 500 company that provides a variety of healthcare services to patient populations throughout the United States as well as abroad. Javier Rodriguez, always good to have you with us. This is National Kidney Awareness Month, so mark it down and be good to your kidneys and be good to yourself, okay? 28 minutes after the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
From the creators of God's Not Dead.
I hate what people like your clients stand for and what they're doing to our society.
A classroom answer.
One of your students sent a text to their parents. Did this happen?
If you're asking whether I responded to a student's question, yes.
And your answer incorporated the words of Jesus.
Could cost Grace Wesley everything.
The Thalys are asking that you be fired, plus revocation of your teaching certificate.
They're looking to destroy you.
I'm not going to be afraid to say the name Jesus.
I would rather stand with God and be judged by the world than stand with the world and be judged by God.
Free, go free! God's not dead, he's surely alive!
God's Not Dead, too. In theaters April 1st. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Tickets and show times available at godsnotdead.com.
Don't know what's in your drinking water? Better get a ProPure. With the Pro1G 2.0 all-in-one filter, remove over 200 contaminants, including fluoride and lead. Taste water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure water filtration products. There's a ProPure system for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details on our current free shipping special or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Sciatica, lower back pain, hip pain, poor posture. If you suffer from any of these problems, get ready to relax. Introducing an amazing product that's been in the market for over 25 years, the Sacro Wedgie. It was invented by a football coach using a common sense osteopath technique. He created this device to help his athletes by isolating and supporting the sacrum, which is the keystone of our anatomy. This wedge-shaped bone is in the center of our hips, where a lot of pain starts. Simply relax 20 minutes daily on the amazingly simple Sacro Wedgie and let gravity do the work, helping muscles rebalance and start releasing nerves. Sit in the Sacro Wedgie at the computer or while traveling to help correct posture to finally help relieve those stubborn aches and pains for only $33.95. It's made in the USA, so click the family-owned website at sacrowedgie.com, spelled S-A-C-R-O-W-E-D-G-Y.com, or call 1-800-737-9295. That's 1-800-737-9295. Relax your back pain away with the Sacro Wedgie.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profits. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to BigBuckRiches.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. Go to BigBuckRiches.com. From the Robert Allen System, current returns not indicative of future results.
Send your emails direct.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Ladies and gentlemen,
NSA free to Bill at BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, we're back with you, America. Welcome back. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. As always, good to have you along with us as we continue this fun and frivolity. It is a once-in-a-lifetime type experience, let me tell you, every day. It's always something new, but nonetheless here, we're going to have a good time regardless. For more information on the show, you want to go to BillMartinezLive.com. And if you want to be so kind, and I say even kind, even if you, you know, just something's weighing heavy on you and there's something that has disturbed you about this radio show and what we've been talking about, by all means, we want to hear from you. So, you know, chime in. Let us know your thoughts. No need to be offended or, you know, unenlightened at any level. You know, that's why we encourage everybody. Let's have the conversation and, you know, let's talk it out so that we can, you know, get to a reasonable solution about the things that matter. OK, so, you know, the conversation will continue. It is time for a pastor who has got an incredible story. I mean, he pedals and, you know, on his bicycle, and it gives him a rather interesting perspective. Dennis Whitmore is with us right now. Dennis, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Good morning, Bill. Wonderful to talk to you this morning.
Hey, good to have you on with us. So, you know, I guess the question is, you know, there's just something special. And I know when I'm riding my bike, it allows me to, as I tell my wife, to decompress, you know, get away from everything, get off the grid, and just kind of, you know, blend into the environment in a unique way, especially when our culture and everything about our lives is you know, let's just hurry up and get on the hamster wheel of life. So I appreciate when I'm able to get on my bicycle and just kind of ride and take in the scenery.
Amen. That's right. That's what it's all about.
Well, and for you, you found that this perspective. I mean, you've had an interest in cycling, you know, for quite a while. See, it sounds to me like this has been part of your everyday regimen, right?
Oh yeah, pretty much. I mean, I used to work in a health club when I first got out of college, mm-hmm. and I learned how to just basically keep myself in shape all year because I don't like to ride when it's cold. When it gets below 68 degrees, I pretty much put the bike away.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
but. Yeah, you know, I do spin class, I do weights, things like that. So I can get on my bike, I could ride, you know, 80 miles first time out pretty much because I'm able to keep, you know, just maintain. So it's really good to be able to do it.
Well, your new book, Ponderings of a Pedaling Pastor, explain to our audience how that came about, the genesis of it.
Well, I started to jot down things. I keep sort of a trip log on my bike of different things, and I was writing a column for a small free newspaper in Hagerstown, Maryland, mm-hmm. called Points to Ponder. That was my column, and people would tell me, you know, you really ought to write a book, because I always had these interesting stories and experiences that I came up with along the way, people I met, lessons I learned, and I always tied in a scripture to every single article I wrote to give mm-hmm. a biblical perspective to the day-to-day normal things that you encounter in just day-to-day life. Like, you know, pulling out of my house one day, it was my birthday, I take a turn onto Route 1, I'm right behind one of those trucks that's carrying one of those vaults that you put a casket in when you bury somebody.
Oh, uh-huh.
So, you know, it gets you thinking.
Yeah, right.
Birthday.
Yeah. Life and death before you this day, right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, you got to appreciate what you have because you never know how long you're going to have it. And so every year I ride my bike like it's a lease. You know, wow, thank God I got another year. And I ride for multiple sclerosis. I've been doing it for 33 years. And because I'm so thankful to have the ability to do it. My knees were miraculously healed when I was a teenager. I went to a church service because I damaged my knees as a kid and I was not allowed to ride a bike or to run.
Oh, wow.
And a neighbor took me to a service, and they laid hands on me and so forth, and I was healed, was able to ride. And so I really am very thankful, and that's many decades ago, and I've got thousands of miles now on my bike.
Well, Dennis, I appreciate you sharing your healing. You know, there's still, you know, sadly, too many people, especially Christians, that just say, well, healing was for yesterday, not for today. But it's hard to, you know, tell people who've been healed that it's a yesterday thing when it's happening today.
That's right. That's
yeah.
right.
So you're a little bit like the blind man who can now see. I don't understand it. All I know is that I'm thankful for it. And I can walk where before I wasn't able to walk so well. And for you now, you know, having the benefit of, you know, being able to ride your bike around and, you know, and then you get these points to ponder where you're looking at something that holds a casket as you're celebrating your birthday. So the interesting contrasts of life, and you probably feel like there's lots of God moments just like that that come about because you're able to kind of, you know, get away from everything, right?
Yeah, I call them God incidences
mm-hmm.
because there are little things that happen to you all along the way that you seldom pay attention to. And in fact, in your mind, sometimes a little red flag will jump up and kind of you'll hear a whisper that'll say, look at that. Mm-hmm. When you're so busy into other things, you're not listening to the whisper.
Yeah.
And so when you're out on the bike and just looking at the beauty of things and stuff, and legs are on autopilot, so to speak, you don't need to be an athlete to do this. I never really was an athlete. I used my bike for escape. And
yes,
I would just
exactly.
talk to God, sometimes out loud if I was on a country road, just talk.
Mm-hmm.
And I would get answers, not like audible answers, but, you know, sometimes I would receive an insight from something I saw, somebody I met, an interesting encounter along the way. You know, I met a woman who was chronically in pain all the time, and that all resulted from looking for a restroom and a bike ride on the Eastern Shore of Maryland. And I found this guy. He says, oh, come on down to my hotel. And I went to his hotel just to use his restroom, got into a mm-hmm. conversation. He brought this neighbor over. She brought her Bible because she knew I was a pastor. And I sat down and talked to her for a couple hours. She still writes to me 3 years later.
Wow.
So we have this great friendship. Yet I got people in my church praying for her who never met her.
Well, yeah.
Just because of that article.
That is amazing, and I was going to ask you about the people that you come along. So that's a great story, and I'm sure that, you know, you get like these incidences, like you as you refer to them. Some would call them divine appointments, connections, you know, that happen along the way that otherwise you wouldn't have had an opportunity to do if you weren't on your bike.
Oh, absolutely! I had incredible answers to prayer. When I first got this bike I have now, it's 23 years old, and I kept getting flat. And I was on this long stretch of a road that had no guardrail, no shoulder even. It just had crushed cinder and no stops anywhere. And my tire was going flat for the third time. And it was a brand new bike. And I just prayed to God. I was like, God, where am I going to lay this thing to work on it? You know, I don't want to scratch. You know, it's a stupid thing. I guess it's kind of vain. But, but I said, please provide something. You know, I can lay the bike on. I look up ahead down the road. There's a bath towel.
Oh, wow.
There.
No
way.
I
had the towel. I laid the bike on that. I fixed the tire. I look at the bike. My pump was broken. I had a crack in the rim of the ring thing. So I just on my knees fixing the thing. And Lord, could you please have somebody stop it as a pump or a tire compressor? I mean, in less than 5 minutes, they hear an engine behind me. I turn around. There's this guy. And he says, you need any help? I say, yeah, you have a pump or a tire compressor. And the guy says, I don't think so. And I said, well, I think you do. So we went back into the man's van and we're looking all around. And I picked up some rags in this milk crate, and there it was.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Wow. Little did he know, huh?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. He said he had a son in Arizona, and he would want somebody to stop for him. And that's why he stopped for me. And so I guess we all got blessed that day.
Yeah, that is all the wonderment of life, if we can, you know, enjoy the moment and be open to these kind of experiences. Tell us another story. We got about a minute and a half left here.
Well, I love church signs and other kind of signs. I was riding through Birmingham, Alabama, and this is great for an election year.
Yeah.
I go past this business in Birmingham, and they got this sign. It said, politicians and diapers both need changing for the same reason.
Right. Exactly. And we should do it more than, you know, more often than 16 or 20 years, okay? Ladies and gentlemen, can you kind of tell I'm for fixed term limits? He is the author of the book, Ponderings of a Peddling Pastor. Dennis Whitmore has been with us. Dennis, how can they get their hands on this peddling book of yours and all its, it's great meanderings and impressions and Salem moments and incidences that you've been able to enjoy?
Well, just go to the website, peddlingpastor.com. And I have a blog there, and you can order the book from there, peddlingpastor.com.
Hey, you can start praying for people that you don't know, and they can be praying for you. It's, you know, it's all kinds of fun all the way around. Dennis Whitmore, I'm Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Dennis. It's 19 before the top of the hour.
Attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Miracles are God's way of letting us know He's here.
From the producers of Heaven is for Real, Miracles from Heaven.
Mommy! I'm coming!
Unfortunately, the tests confirmed that she's very ill. There is currently no cure for Anna's condition.
We're not giving up.
Based on the incredible true story.
We need a solution.
And we'll get it.
How?
By not losing our faith.
This Easter.
So you're telling me that when this baby girl fell 30 feet, she hit her head just right and it healed her?
Yes.
That's impossible.
How do we explain the impossible?
He told me I'd be fine.
Who told you you'd be fine?
Miracles from Heaven, starring Jennifer Garner. Now playing. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. For tickets and showtimes, go to miraclesfromheaven-movie.com.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now, for not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late. In 17 years, Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX, or my website, danpilla.com.
You've reached Bill Martinez Live.
We're back with the American Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. That's where you want to go. And if you want to drop me an email, we'd love to hear from you. Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. With us right now, Dr. Gerald Bach, Senior Research Professor of New Testament Studies at Dallas Theological Seminary in Dallas, Texas. Serves as the Executive Director for Cultural Engagement at the Seminary's Hendricks Center for Christian Leadership. He is the New York Times bestselling author of Breaking the Da Vinci Code. Dr. Bach, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, and it's a pleasure to be with you.
Hey, good to be here with you. We met several weeks back in Nashville, Tennessee for NRB. Was hoping to have some time, and here it is. We have to do it over the phone. I'm in Florida. You're in Texas, but through this technological wonderment in which we live in, we can connect and get some information out about your new book, Dr. Bach.
Well, it's great to hear. I'm looking forward to the time and enjoyed the time in Nashville with you.
Well, in the face of these 2016 elections, it seems like every election is the most important, most significant of our lives. This seems to be even more so because of what we've undergone the last 8 years. We've got Chief Justice, maybe one, two more, going to at least come up possibly in the next 4 years. And so what you bring to mind here with the title of your new book, which is going to be released in May, I believe May 17th, is how would Jesus vote? I think this is a question that many evangelicals would ask.
Yes, it is. And I think that what the book is about is a complaint about the way we have our political discourse today, and where it looks like we're headed is nothing but a confirmation of the problems that we have.
Mm-hmm. When you say it is a complaint, what we hear and have heard for decades is we really don't want to have... You know, we don't want to hear the opinion of anybody who is God-fearing. We're going to kick evangelicals off to the curb here. And I thought it was quite ironic here. About 8 months ago, Gallup came out with a poll that said the secular market was a little upset at evangelicals because they have not been involved in the public debate. And they say, well, okay, well, you didn't want us to be there, so why are you complaining?
Yeah, and I actually think there's even a more fundamental problem than thinking about it strictly from the standpoint of how evangelicals do or do not engage. And that is, once we engage, how do we actually have that conversation? And the complaint of the book is that both the right and the left selectively handle biblical values in a fallen world. And so we actually never have the conversations that we need to have in order to solve the complexity of the problems that we face. Mm-hmm. That each side is engaged in a kind of sloganeering approach to issues that sometimes can be very superficial. And in that process, we actually don't get down to, one, the difficulties that we face and the kinds of decisions that are in front of us, and two, a way to have a discussion that acknowledges legitimate concerns that each side is bringing to the conversation, as well as sorting out those things that aren't legitimate.
Well, let's give some specifics about evangelicals. What can they do to be more effective?
Well, I think one way to be more effective is to, one, understand, two things. The biblical groundwork for the way people relate to each other and what Christians are called to be, and then secondly, the nature of the way our government is structured. And what I think Christians are coping with is a cultural shift that has taken place in which the underlying net that was catching us culturally up until probably 20, 30 years ago, maybe as far back as the 60s, was a inherently received Judeo-Christian cultural net, but we were not a Christian country. And so as our culture has shifted away from that and we've lost that net, the church has lost its ability to respond well to that reality. We have become to be, I have a colleague of mine who's expressed it this way, we're no longer the home team. Mm-hmm. And in that process, we've been slow to adjust. We want to go back to being the home team sometimes in the way we engage, but in fact, we're not the home team, and so we need to realize we're not the home team.
Well, okay, well, that's a good point. And that helps us understand and maybe hold things in perspective here. But how do we conduct that conversation? How do we have a conversation with the home team and let them know that we're sympathetic to their cause and we bring something of value to the table here?
Well, you want to look for those kinds of things that hopefully you can at least to some degree attempt to connect on. You know, most of our politics has been oppositional. And so if you're asking questions about the pursuit of concepts like the common good or the idea of what makes humans flourish well, what makes for stable societies, those kinds of questions, and to push the conversation in those kinds of directions, then I think you, and hear the concerns, the legitimate concerns that are being expressed by the other side in the midst of challenging some of the concerns we think are illegitimate, rather than simply just saying no, I think you produce a basis for having a better conversation, because there are at least some points that you can attempt to pursue where you might see, well, maybe we might disagree about a significant portion of what we're talking about, but here is what we do agree on. Now, how do we work from here?
Exactly. I think that part of the problem that we run into sometimes with evangelicals is they want to go right after the issue of abortion or same-sex marriage. And I would say that even the church at this point is awkward and having a tough time in expressing a solid evangelical position that comes across more, you know, compassionate, if I might say.
Yeah, and I think that part of the other thing that the church struggles with is how do I actually like to express it this way. The challenge of the church is that the church's theology represents a challenge to the world, inherently so.
Right.
But the solution to that challenge is an invitation to people to come into sacred space, to come and experience all that God has created us to be. And you can't just challenge and not have the invitation, and people don't care about your complaint unless they know you care.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to balance these elements, and it's not easy to do, but it needs to be done. And unfortunately, we've been a little too much, I think, just in the mode of telling people or trying to tell people where they're wrong or where things are amiss, rather than communicating that even that challenge comes out of a legitimate concern for the very people we're challenging.
Exactly. And what has happened, Dr. Bach, what I've seen is that because we've been removed from that conversation for a while, we're awkward and insensitive. And we need to sensitize ourselves to this conversation to where the words that we share are spirit-led and they're powerful, as opposed to just ideological and condemning.
Yeah, let me make a metaphor switch that I think is important for the church.
Okay.
We spent 30 years fighting a culture war in which we have produced an enemy on the other side who are people, okay? Mm-hmm. But I actually think what the New Testament teaches is our spiritual war is against spiritual forces. They're the enemy. And we're designed to be ambassadors for the cause of God in the world, representing God, but doing it through a kind of invitation, or to use another metaphor, we're like a Delta force that's being given the assignment to go in and rescue people out of the clutches of someone else.
Yes.
Even though those people may or may not realize they're in the grasp of someone else. So you aren't trying to make them the enemy. They're actually the goal of the mission. And that becomes an important way to think about people that I interact with who I disagree with politically, or even I disagree with theologically and ideologically as I engage them.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's an important paradigm shift, and I think that's it's a proper perspective to move us into the 21st century, to where the words that we're speaking, what we're trying to do in terms of edifying, and as you say, you're posing them with a problem, but you know what? So what's the answer? What's the delivery here? How are we going to, you know, demonstrate that we really do care about them if we're not going to invite them, as you say? And I like the way you put that.
Well,
inviting them into sacred space.
Yeah, I think the invitation of sacred space has to come with a clear communication that we care, which means sometimes being vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
It has to come with an understanding that some of the concerns that are being raised by someone from the other side are actually legitimate concerns that need to be brought into consideration. And then when the challenge is issued, it needs to be issued with enough respect in communicating the nature of the disagreement that a person doesn't have a sense that I've completely dismissed them as I've engaged them and challenged them. So those, I think, are some of the elements that we need. And sometimes, again, I listen to the tone of our rhetoric. We've been taking the right position, but our tone is so poor that people never get to the position we're trying to espouse because they're reacting to our tone.
Exactly. Yeah. And this has been something that's been brought up in the political debate, that we're sensitive about tone. But meanwhile, why can't we be sensitive about people's heads being lopped off?
Well, I think that the hard thing here is that actually the Christian position is that we are so secure in our identity of in God that we don't operate either out of fear or anger.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a part of what I think the church has lost, which means having the ability, if I can say it this way, to lose well.
Yeah.
In a political process where it's a democracy and votes count, and sometimes you're in the minority, you have to know how to be in the minority well. You still engage, you still try to persuade, but if you lose, you lose well. It's part of a larger system that you're participating in that you know is imperfect and that you also know is not ultimately the answer.
Right.
And if you give politics its proper limited place in the big sphere of things, then you won't overreact when things go poorly.
Well, Daryl, 30 seconds here. The book is coming out on May the 17th. How would Jesus vote? How would Jesus vote?
Well, I think the issue here is how would he approach the issues? How would he look for the articulation of the balance between things rather than simply giving a one-sided perspective on the issues that we face? It isn't who Jesus would vote for that's so important. It's how he would even go about thinking about those issues. That's actually what the book is about.
Well, he is a senior research professor of New Testament Studies at Dallas Theological Seminary in Dallas, Texas. Dr. Daryl Bach has been with us. Daryl, thank you so much.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.